up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. You know, it has been a busy week thanks to the National Football League. With all the other sports closed down and more news every single day that another sport is being delayed, suspended, postponed, or just outright canceled, the NFL had decided to keep its year league intact with franchise tags and agents being able to talk to teams and signings today, and that led us to the big news of Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers and all of the other things that happened yesterday in terms of quarterback movement. Quarterbacks that are staying, like Drew Brees staying in New Orleans on a two-year deal. Quarterbacks that are going. Phillip Rivers has landed a new home. Of course, we talk about Brady. And then, of course, Teddy Bridgewater going to the Carolina Panthers. But, and I think this is the credit to the NFL to realize, look, it's not so much that they're doing it for us. They're doing it because we don't know where this is going to go, where this virus is going to take us, where, you know, where our national mindset is going to be. They've been criticized for this. I think it's not an accurate portrayal of what of their sort of blindness to what we're going on. I think it's been great for the league to continue along because they don't know, like we don't know, if we're all going to be in the clear by the summer, and they're not going to want to delay now when they don't have to. There's nothing affecting this. You know, there's no fans gathering to, you know, to welcome Tom Brady to Tampa. There's no need for fans to be in attendance of anything when free agency is going down or franchise tags are being implemented. This is just simple business. This is simple paperwork. And I think the NFL went, okay, look, when we get to the draft and we're having a whole bunch of people, you know, that's something we can curtail. That's the gathering that we can stop. That's what we can do. But we're not in set season right now. We're not filling up stadiums, so we don't have to delay anything. And people are saying, well, it's sort of, you know, the NFL, we're talking money and there's people about to lose their jobs. But sports has gone on through all sorts of economic times where there's been money at play. And this is no different. Look, it's selfish of me to say I'm glad I have something to talk about, yada, yada, yada. But I'm glad for the larger picture of this league that they're staying on their calendar, because if we do get out of this in a couple of months, the NFL will not have missed a beat. Nothing will have been delayed going forward. If it has to be delayed, you bet they will do so.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So whether you have rooted for him or you rooted against him, Tom Brady is certainly has one of those legacies in sports that's just really hard to process sometimes when you really step back and look at the accomplishments. It's one thing when you take it all in as it's coming, but when you really step back and go, wow, 20 years in the NFL, started with a Super Bowl, kind of ended his run with the Patriots at the Super Bowl a year ago, winning the championship over the Rams. And now he's going on to Tampa Bay, where he'll close out his career with the Buccaneers, and they'll pay him for it. Now, the Patriots always have gotten a friendly contract with Tom Brady, paid in other ways, but always a team-friendly contract. This is the time where he's going to make the $30 million a year the Buccaneers are going to give him for the next, I think, two that's on the table. And he will play for Bruce Arians, and he will play with a team that has got pretty good defense, that's got some good weapons around him, and he'll try to make another run at a championship without Bill Belichick. Here's the thing. Yesterday, when it was announced that he wasn't returning to the Patriots, it was breaking news, because I think there was still the argument to be made that his best location would be in New England. But there was always a feeling like, man, he's probably not going back to the Patriots. Is this something you can't put your finger on it, but you just got the feeling he wasn't going back? I was never one of those media guys that thought he was going back. I know some people staked their reputation on it. I always thought the signal seemed to me that he was going to separate. And that really put the media, the people who do the speculative stuff like myself and others, to figure out, okay, if he's going to leave, where is he going to go? Tampa caught on kind of late in the process, to be honest with you, because Tennessee was in the mix, given Mike Vrabel, given what the Titans had. The Chargers, I think, were always number one on people's choice. There was the Raiders. There was San Francisco until they finally said, nah, I think we're going to be done with this. But Tampa Bay was coming in as it's like a racehorse that's hovering in the back for a while, not quite out of it, but you're not paying attention to them either. And then they kind of hit their stride on the backstretch. And the more people started talking about Tampa Bay, the more people started going, yeah, I could actually see this going down. There's a couple of realistic, you know, real reasons that he would go play for the Buccaneers. Bruce Arians being one of them. Jason Like, the general manager, was with the Patriots when they drafted Tom Brady. There's some connection there. There's things to like about Tampa's team, especially on offense. The weather is nice. There's no state income tax. I was glad, by the way, ESPN pointed that out yesterday, because I pointed that out yesterday. I'm not the first media guy to do it, but I was glad I wasn't, you know, only thinking economics. But there's a lot to like. And it's that, you know, so that Tampa Bay Buccaneer horse in the race was starting to gain steam. And what you saw down the stretch was San Francisco's horse pulled back, right? The Tennessee Titans pulled back. The Chargers were still charging strong, but the Raiders pulled back. And here come the Buccaneers. Down the stretch they come, and the Buccaneers end up at the finish line. And I think it's a good fit for Brady. But I had the Chargers. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to tell you I saw the Buccaneers this whole time. I didn't. I saw the Chargers because I saw there was a, if you're going to play anywhere in the United States that you could, why not go to your home state? Why not go to L.A.? It seems to work well for a lot of people. Look, L.A.
Follow LeBron.
Follow LeBron is right. I mean, he's already started a production company. And right, playing for the Chargers for him is different than the Chargers in general. He doesn't need, you know, he's not trying to fill a stadium. He's just trying to fill his life.
Or was that going to be too Johnny Unitas?
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe he didn't want that, right? Seeing too many Johnny Unitas pictures in a Charger uniform, and I'm not going down that
road. I also wondered this, too. Did the fact that the Chargers are hosting the Patriots next year play any role in it?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Because, I mean, let's face it. You know, yeah, I mean, the Chargers, you were saying they're getting outbid. I don't think it was ever about money for Brady, because Brady doesn't need it.
No, I didn't say the Chargers got outbid. I have no idea what the Chargers were offering.
I was saying the Chargers did. The Chargers were starting to realize that they were out of the running, and I don't know if it was because they weren't throwing enough money, or maybe just Brady was just like, you know what, I'm going to Tampa. And maybe they saw the writing on the wall. Because I can't believe that he chose Tampa over the Chargers for money.
No, I don't think so either. I think, you know.
I mean, his wife is, she's a billionaire, right?
Let me ask you this, and because I've heard this over and over again, but I do think Brady wanted the money as a sign of respect.
Yes.
Right? That it has nothing to do with, you know, enhancing your bank account. It has nothing to do with buying another house. It is just the idea. Exactly. He doesn't need security. But the idea of, I do this for a living, and I want to be paid on the level of doing this better than most people do it, right? Like, they talked about his salary with the Buccaneers puts him in Kirk Cousins' range. All right, if this puts him in Kirk Cousins' range, his friendly deal with the Patriots puts him out of even that. And I think he was probably going, look, it's not about the dough. I don't need more money, but I do want a team to pay me some level of finance. Because that's what they always say, right? How do they respect? They respect you with the paycheck. That's how they respect you. They respect you with money. And I do think that was something he wasn't just going to give away. He wasn't going to give the Buccaneers the same deal because they didn't earn it. The Patriots may have earned it because Tom Brady became Tom Brady very early with a team that was built on defense, and obviously he helped, obviously, win that Super Bowl against the Rams, that final drive, et cetera, et cetera. But he was so entrenched into the organization and what they were doing and winning titles and building a dynasty that he could afford to get paid on the back end but give team-friendly contracts. The Buccaneers didn't earn that. The Buccaneers never earned the right to pay him less than market value, and neither did the Chargers. Right. So I think that he was looking for a financial reward only in that regard. Not to say I got to get paid because I got to get paid. It was, okay, I did this for Robert Kraft,
But that's a different circumstances than you, Glazer family, right? I'm going to do it differently. Or Spanos family, I'm going to do it differently. So there's a little bit of that, but I the more I've been processing Tampa Bay, the more I'm with a lot of people that say, you know what, this is good. This is good for him. Bruce Arians will change his offense to whatever Tom Brady's going to do efficiently. Whatever 43-year-old Tom Brady, when the season starts, can still do, Arians will design an offense that will fit exactly that. He's not going to be stepping into an offense that Jameis Winston was running, because that's a different type of quarterback. He's a different type of quarterback than that. Right? But he's going to be able to do things better than Jameis Winston. But it's not going to be this quick strike downfield, 10 yards per completion kind of attack that Winston has, because I don't know if Brady can do that for 16 games. But I do think Tom Brady is going to keep the ball and keep your drives alive, right? And utilizing tight ends, whether it's O.J. Howard or Cameron Brate, I think those things are going to work out fantastic. And the two wide receivers that he has in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are two of the best. That duo is some of the best in the league together. Individually separate, but together they're two of the best duos you've got in the NFL. And I think there's also, and I don't know, I don't think this had anything to do with it, because I think that Brady believes he can beat anybody, because that's kind of the level of competitiveness. But there are two teams in that division that right now are kind of a mess. The Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. I think there's an opportunity to get into the playoffs by competing with the Saints and see where that goes. Do you want to be in the division with Patrick Mahomes? I don't know. I don't know if that plays into it or not. Probably not, given that he's probably like, look, I'm as good as anybody else in this league. I may not be young and like Patrick Mahomes, and I can't make those same throws, but I can win in other ways. But I think he also knows, look, it's a pretty good defensive team. It's gotten a lot better. I don't have to do a zillion things. It's not going to be all on me. I don't have to win games 45-41. And again, I'll play in the sunshine, right? So think about this. He plays in a division where, so he's going to have eight games in sunny Florida, and then he plays in a dome in Atlanta, in Charlotte, which could be cold in the wintertime, and in a dome in New Orleans as his divisional game. So like, he's hardly ever going to be playing when it's cold or outdoors in the cold.
No, I mean,
and when you're older, it does matter.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a great situation for him.
I think so. I think so, too. Yeah, the same thing would happen in Los Angeles, but, you know, you got to go to Denver and Kansas City when it could be freezing. But, you know, I think that this works. I think there's a lot of things that work here. And this is my mea culpa here. Given all I know now, right, all I know now about how this really does work and make sense, maybe I should have seen the Tampa Bay Buccaneer horse coming down the stretch a lot sooner than I did.
I don't think so.
Doesn't it feel like Monday morning quarterbacking now?
Oh, it totally
like we're all
does.
We're all going, well, yeah, we should have known this
Tampa
whole time.
Made the sense
yeah, this
all
makes
along.
Sense. Look at all, but hardly anybody was saying 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago,
we weren't saying
that
Tampa.
The Buccaneers were the leader of the clubhouse.
No, I mean all along, what it's been the Chargers, the Raiders.
The Titans.
And the Titans.
Right.
That was it.
That's it. And the Buccaneers were, what? Really? Could the Buccaneers really
they
be in the running
the
for this?
It would be as weird. If now, if all of a sudden we decided to throw the Lions in the mix.
Right.
And the Lions would have been more, I think would have been more believable than the Buccaneers, given, what's the coach's name?
Bruce Arians?
No.
Oh, which team? Oh, the Lions. Matt Patricia.
Matt Patricia.
Yeah.
Given Matt Patricia, because then then you start playing that thing. It's like, okay, well, you know, he's familiar with Matt Patricia. That's why the Titans seemed very likely.
Yeah.
Had a great running game, great offensive line, you know, got some good weapons. Vrabel's the coach. I mean, all that made sense to me. He was checking out schools in the area, as we heard over and over again.
Meanwhile, the jockey of the Tampa Bay horse is going, I got this. I know that the others are going to run out of gas.
Yeah, they were just quiet. They were just under the radar the entire time.
You keep looking at those leaders, but I've got my horse in the right position. And when we make that turn, down the stretch they come. And I'm going to be hobbling along to the finish line, landing TB12. And they did. And it does make sense. Like I said, it does make sense. The more you look into this, the more you see what Tampa Bay has, the more you go, yep, I can see why this is attractive. There's a lot of things off the field that are attractive, on the field that are attractive. Of course, who's guiding the team, et cetera, et cetera. All right, coming up next, March Memories. We're doing this every day in lieu of March Madness because we don't have games. We're going to be reminding you of how great the tournament is. Talking a little bit about the bad boys this week, and some of them are more bad than others. This next one depends on how you view them. We're going to talk about the Fab Five next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, say big during O'Reilly's Auto Parts Power Torque Tools DIY Day Sale with great deals on socket sets, wrenches, and more. And if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you need the right tools for the job, and this is your opportunity. Right now, get a 57-piece quarter-inch drive ratchet socket and bit set. Just $24.99 plus double O rewards points, which means you'll get to your next reward even faster. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, so we're doing March Memories in this segment. But this week, we've been talking about some of the bad boys of college basketball. And some of you are fans of the bad boys. Some of you root against these guys.
The villains, if you will. I like bad boys better because there's really only one villain.
There's really only one villain, and that's Duke and Christian Laettner. Everybody else has had their moments where we rooted for them, and then afterwards we may have gone, oh, what were we doing? Yep. The criticisms have come because what has happened after their tournament, which is where we're mostly getting these teams.
Like yesterday, we loved UNLV.
You loved UNLV.
It was just afterwards we're like, I don't know, maybe they
shouldn't be in the hot tub with a guy named the Fixer. Yeah. I don't know if that's a good look. I don't know if that's something.
Great photo.
Yeah, right. It was a great photo. They knew exactly where they were and what they were doing. They're all like, yeah, woohoo. Right? So this next group is the Fab Five, and it's one of my favorite stories of college basketball. And it's one of my favorite stories because I feel like the Fab Five had everything.
Yes.
Right? I think their documentary, their 30 for 30 is great because the Fab Five had it all, right? They were these five freshmen that all went to Michigan, highly touted, highly recruited. Steve Fisher was the head coach, reluctant at first to make them all starters, right? Yeah, but eventually the wave was way too big to control. And eventually they all were starting. And they went, they went on to create a legacy at Michigan where they influenced all of college basketball. They went to two championships. They lost to Duke. They lost to North Carolina, 92 and 93. But they also have a legacy that has prompted a lot of criticism. Billy Packer, the commentator for years at CBS with Jim Nantz, called them frauds. He called them overhyped. Right? He thinks what they did for college basketball damaged college basketball more than it helped. He's a very big vocal critic of all of the stuff that took place afterwards when we found out their relationship with Ed Martin and Chris Webber getting payments and how the banners had to come down at Michigan. Packer is on the record. And I know a lot of people look at Packer and say, look, he's a guy that likes to put himself in the news.
He's a Jose Canseco.
Right. He's a Jose Canseco. So he says a lot of things that, yes, that's on his mind, but that seems to create. And listen, I'll tell you a quick story. Back in 2013, I had just kind of started with this network. They asked me to do the College Basketball Final Four show. One of the interviews that I got to do was Billy Packer. It was 2013, so we were talking about the 20-year anniversary of the Weber timeout game. So I thought, let me talk to Billy Packer about his thoughts on the Fab Five. The documentary was coming out, etc. He went off. I mean, he went off. It was one of those interviews where you went, wow, I'm getting a lot more out of this answer than I thought. And I realized he was doing that pretty much with anybody who would ask him about the Fab Five. He was very critical of their legacy. Said, listen, if they had won a championship, it would have killed college basketball. He was so enraged at the money and the booster, Ed Martin, who got in there and damaged the reputation of the Fab Five. He didn't like the baggy shorts, but a lot of people did like the baggy shorts. That set a trend in college basketball. They're the ones that started that. If you go back to the tape of those short shorts that people were like, wow, that's crazy. He actually wore that. Michigan said, no, we want the extra inches on the shorts. And Steve Fisher famously once said, you win, you can wear whatever you want. So they did. But they do have a brash, confident legacy. They knew they were the best team in college basketball. They didn't care if everybody was talking about how great Duke was. They didn't beat Duke in the championship game, but they didn't care. They thought that they were the best collection of talent in college basketball. They knew who they were. You could criticize them all you want, but they knew how influential they were. And Jalen Rose brings this up a lot when you talk about him, how he knew in college how much money that university was making off them and how much money they weren't making off them. Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, Juwan Howard, Jimmy King, and Ray Jackson were the Fab Five. And it was one of those love them or hate them kind of situations that we see occasionally in college hoops, where there is such a force that is in the sport that you're going to have to reckon with as a fan, that you're going to have to decide, is this the group of guys I want to root for? Is this the group of guys that I want to see fall on their face for whatever reason? Maybe they're too cocky. Maybe they're too confident. Maybe they're too influential on the culture for your liking. Or did you like the difference that they brought to the sport? This was five freshmen that were starting for a premier program and winning games. And they were so popular. They're like, I think three of their games are still some of the most watched college basketball games of all time. Just because we could not really get enough of them. So they got blown out by Duke in the 92 finals. That's where Bobby Hurley stepped in. Christian Laettner struggled. Bobby Hurley stepped in, said to Christian Laettner, you better get your act together. He did in the second half. They won by 20. 93 is probably where you all remember most about their legacy. And that was that game at the Superdome in New Orleans when they played North Carolina. And the end of that game, this is what happened.
Michigan will have to bring it.
Oh, he won!
It into the front court. They have no timeouts remaining.
Oh, he causes too many timeouts. That's a technical foul.
He called a timeout. Michigan doesn't have any.
He got by with a walk, and Jimmy calls a technical. He calls a timeout. He doesn't realize that's Michigan's too many, and so it'll be a technical foul. North Carolina shooting and the ball. A huge mental mistake.
Now, I give Chris Webber a ton of credit. He faced the media on this. He's a kid. You know, not only a kid, but he's this young man. He faced the media on this, but he doesn't like talking about this at all. He has not really made peace at this. There's a lot of guys who have gone, look, I made a mistake. I was young. You know, I've gotten over it. It's been 20 years, 30 years, whatever. Webber never seemed to, he never seemed to make peace with this because he knew that was their chance, but there's still circumstances. It's not like they had the lead and then North Carolina had the lead and they had a good defense. He might not have gotten a shot off. Who knows what they would have done? He dribbled into the corner. Right. So if he didn't call timeout, he dribbled to the corner, I think, to call timeout. But you dribble into the corner that traps you there. North Carolina, Michigan wasn't in the bonus at the time. So it wasn't like he would go to the line if he drew a foul. So there were a lot of circumstances, but you don't care about those because those are woulda, coulda, shouldas. What mattered the most was Steve Fisher apparently told his team, do not call timeout. And Webber didn't hear it. There are guys on that team who swear that that was absolutely told to them at their last timeout. That it was absolutely clear that all of them knew that they did not have it. How Chris Webber did not know or did not remember that fact is beyond a lot of them. But it happened. It was a mistake. And they stood by their man. They didn't come out and bash him or blame him. They stood by their man. But the Fab Five, again, is just one of those teams as we go through March memories this week. I think it deserves even a longer segment than we're probably giving it because of the unbelievable influence they had in college hoops.
Yeah, well, you look at it now. What was it? Just Kentucky, the Anthony Davis team of Kentucky.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you could almost make an argument that that was five fab-ish.
Sure.
Because it was just made up of freshman and sophomore.
Yeah, that's right. And also, but it's stupid. Their accomplishments, they never won a Big Ten title, which is really amazing. They never won a Big Ten title. And their banners for making the Final Four in the championship games were taken down. You know, because of the scandal involving their booster, Ed Martin. But nevertheless, a team for the ages, really, a team for the ages that got a lot of love, but they also got a lot of criticism, including that announcer you had just heard.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. We're set to be joined by Daryl Strawberry, baseball great, four-time World Series champion, eight-time All-Star, and a very much like Ryan Leaf in his story, you know, except he's had, you know, success on the baseball diamond, winning championships, had his life ups and downs, also survived colon cancer. We're going to talk to him about that, as well as his baseball career, post-baseball career. That's coming up in just a few minutes. We have been talking this morning about NFL free agency and all of that. We're going to get back to that, but right now, the American Cancer Society estimates there'll be more than 140,000 new cases of colon and rectal cancer this year alone. New research reveals that 34% of 40 to 55-year-olds do not believe that they're a risk for colorectal cancer. As part of the Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, we're joined by baseball great Daryl Strawberry on a Progressive guest hotline. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Here is eight-time Major League Baseball All-Star, four-time World Series champion, joining us today on SB Nation Radio, Mr. Daryl Strawberry. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Tony. How you doing?
Great. A little bit about the research. What is it showing about colon cancer, rectal cancer, and how people need to be tested?
Well, just those 34% of, you know, between 40 and 55 don't believe that they're at high risk, and I think most people are. You know, I was in that age, and I didn't know I was at high risk at the time, you know, and I ended up with colon cancer twice. So I think it's very important that, you know, we understand that, you know, you have a group here. Let's get checked, you know, a group that you can fall upon, you know, to help you understand what you're dealing with. I think it's very important. Early screening is so important for colon cancer. I didn't go through that process, and I ended up with cancer, like I said, twice, and I had to end up losing my left kidney in the second surgery because of colon cancer. So I think people need to be aware of it, and they need to allow themselves to get checked.
Now, you went through this, and what was it like? Because I believe you also came back to baseball after having to deal with this.
Yeah, it was very difficult, you know, because I had to go through chemo for 6 months, and it was very challenging. You know, there were times that I didn't think I would make it, and I just ended up having good people around me. I think it's important for anyone that's going through this particular process for themselves is to have good people, have good doctors around them, and have a good group surrounding them. And I think when you get that, there's an opportunity that you can make it back. It's a long road back. It's a hard road. And it's a very difficult road, you know, because cancer is very scary. And when we have to deal with this as a person, you don't know if you're going to be able to overcome that, but you can overcome it. And it's important to recognize where you're at early. And I think and today in our society, Americans need to know, you know, that where they're at, you know, far as from a physical health standpoint, especially colon cancer.
Before we get into your baseball career and what you're doing today, this is an important topic for a lot of people who are listening right now. So how can people find out more information?
Well, they can go to letsgetchecked.com. I think that's where more information is for them. And you know, if they open themselves to it, it's an easy process. You know, when you look at it, I think the problem with so many of us is we get too busy, we're in fear, and then we think of the cost, and the cost of it is $69. You know, it's a wonderful opportunity to have yourself checked and know where your health stands far as, you know, colon cancer, and for you to be able to move forward and not be so worried about it. At least you have check yourself. And I think that's really what's important for all of us to do.
Daryl Strawberry joining us, SB Nation Radio, on a Progressive guest line. So again, eight-time All-Star, four-time World Series champion. Looking back on your career, the highs and the lows, when you look back and you sit back and you say, look, I had a career that started in New York, ended in New York, points in between. How does Daryl Strawberry view his career?
I'm very happy and satisfied with it, you know, because it actually supposedly went the way it did. And you know, you take it as it comes, you know, because this is real life, and I've learned to deal with that, and I've learned to move on, you know, and I think that's really what's important, you know, when you play sports. And I played for a very long time, and I understand there were some highs and lows, and there's highs and lows in life, and we just learned to, you know, be able to deal with that.
The 86 Mets team, the people look at that team and look at the collection of talent that you had and said, you know, they should have won a lot more. It is hard to win championships in baseball. Do you look at that as a lost opportunity with the talent you had back then?
No, it's only a window of time. You know, we lost in 88 to the Dodgers, who went on to win the World Series that year. We won in 86, and, you know, we had injuries in a couple of those years. And everything is not going to work out as you expect it to. You know, you're not going to always get in the winning circle every year. So you have to learn from your, you know, that process of playing baseball, that you only have a certain time, and you have to take advantage of the time that you have.
Daryl, a lot of people remember the 86 World Series, but a lot of people may have forgotten you were taken out of that game by Davey Johnson in the ninth inning. Do you look back now and say that was the right strategic move, or is it still some ill will in that for that decision?
No, that's over. You know, that's over, and, you know, that process is long gone. You don't think about those. You move on, and you move on. You know, you move on doing positive things like we're doing here today, talking about colon cancer and trying to make people aware. And trying to get people help, you know, early screening and all these things are very important, you know, to people who are out there that may be struggling.
So after that, and you moved on to the Dodgers, you played for the Giants, and then you went to the Yankees, and the 96 team especially, one of the most beloved Yankee teams of all time. What was that like to be part of a team that, that 20 years later, 20-plus years later, we still remember as just a different kind of Yankees team than the evil empire people make it out to be?
Well, I don't know about the evil empire. I just know it was fun, you know, being over there playing with the Yankees and just as well as playing with the Mets. It's just a fun place. New York is a great place to play, and you have an opportunity to play there, and you have an opportunity to win.
Did you guys believe when Joe Torre said we'll still win this series down 2-0 to the Braves?
No question. That's why we ended up winning.
Great point. The 98 team was one of the most dominating teams in baseball. So you go from a team that's kind of an underdog going into the postseason to a team that is expected to win it all, much like the 86 Mets team. Is that a different mindset, or do you still understand the process?
Well, you understand the process. It's baseball. Baseball is never going to change. It's always the same game from growing up as a little kid and learning how to play. And you just, you know, you go through the process and you go through the ups and downs just like we do in life and the things we deal with in life. And I think, you know, like I said, we're sitting here today and we're talking about colon cancer and we're dealing with real life situations with people. And I think it's important that we just continue to focus on that.
So what is Daryl Strawberry's mission? You talk about colon cancer, but you've also been very active in helping players get back on track with their life. What is your mission today in 2020?
My mission today is to see that people, you know, achieve the things that we have to face in life. And today is, you know, the most important thing, colon cancer. I've experienced that in my life, and I've overcome that situation. I'm sitting here for 20 years now, cancer-free. And, you know, I just want to really help with this today to really educate people that early screening is so important. And for you to reach across the aisle and let other people help you. And when you do that, you got a chance of avoiding a lot of hiccups.
What is it like also to be part of I know Mets fans are very they're an organization that hasn't as many championships as their neighbors, but they're rabid. They love their teams. They love their players. When you are welcomed by Mets fans around the globe, what is it like?
It's always special. It always will be special because it's New York. It's nothing greater than, you know, playing in Queens in the days of the 80s that I had a chance to play there. For those 8 years.
Do you like where baseball is headed today?
I you know what? I really don't know because I'm not around it. I don't follow it. I'm not one of these guys that has kept a uniform on. I've removed the uniform, and you know, I work on different things of helping people and encouraging people like we are here today, encouraging people with colon cancer, you know, colon cancer screening, and telling them the importance of that.
That's awesome. Daryl, I really appreciate your time. Great luck with all of the things you do because you are doing some very good work in this day and age. I really appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you very much.
You got it. Daryl Strawberry on a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Also, check out their Home Quote Explorer. Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer only at progressive.com. Again, Daryl Strawberry, formerly of the Mets and the Dodgers, Giants, and Yankees. That's an interesting four-team combination. He has played for all four teams that at once resided in New York. So I don't know if that means anything. I don't know how trivial that is. But again, all four teams that at once made their residence in the greater New York area, he has played for all of the three organizations. It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. Folks, your air filter plays a huge role in the life and performance of your engine. For performance and economy, you want a filter that will allow enough clean air for the engine to run well while still protecting it. The difference between a quality air filter and a cheap one is how well it does its job. Did you know a quality air filter can help keep your oil cleaner? Inferior quality filters allow fine sand and dirt to enter the engine, which dirties the oil and causes extra wear. Now, if you're driving a diesel, your engine uses twice as much air as a gas engine. That means your filter gets dirty twice as fast. That's why I recommend getting a quality air filter and replacing it at least every 15,000 to 20,000 miles. Do it sooner if you drive in a dusty area. And the original equipment filter is always a safe bet. This is Mike Hurst from Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com and be sure to sign up for our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play.
The Jeep Celebration event is here, and we're inviting you to get great deals on the SUVs built to stand the test of time, which means more time to discover all that awaits in the luxurious Jeep Grand Cherokee with available premium leather trim seats and real wood accents, as well as Harman Kardon audio. More time to go beyond the ordinary to places that can only be reached with the help of Jeep Cherokee's legendary capability. More time to drive off into the sunset and into the next sunrise with Jeep Compass's innovative technology and connectivity, like the available 8.4-inch Uconnect touchscreen. And of course, more time taking in some rays while taking advantage of the open-air freedom of Jeep Renegade with available MySky open-air sunroof. Time is the ultimate test, and your time to enjoy great deals at the Jeep Celebration event is running out. Jeep is a registered trademark.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. A little surprised Daryl Strawberry doesn't follow baseball at all?
I was extremely surprised.
At all?
All right, if you look back on it, did baseball do him, or, I mean, he did it to himself, obviously.
Right, sure.
But does baseball really want to remember him?
Yeah, that's a good point. He's a beloved former Met, though. Mets fans love him, but you're right, from the baseball perspective, he's one of the sweet, swinging players of the era.
If we put him in the same line as Doc Gooden, right? Both of these guys were, when they first came out, like in 84, 85? They were easily looked at as first ballot Hall of Famers.
That's right. That is absolutely correct. They used to call Doc Gooden, you know, curveball is called Uncle Charlie. They used to call Dwight Gooden's curveball Lord Charles. It was that good.
Yeah.
It was unhittable.
And I mean, then the career arc. I mean, after 86, 88, probably when it started going downhill for him.
I was really blown away that he said he doesn't follow baseball anymore. Look, and I get it. Some of these athletes, I've dealt with these athletes a lot where they go, like, you know, it's part of my career, but, you know, I got other things to do. But I think it would be hard. Wouldn't it be hard if
that was your livelihood.
Yeah, you were so entrenched in it. And look, and it's not like he said at the beginning of the interview, he had a long career. Like he had a satisfying career. He won championships, he made the All-Star team. It wasn't cut short by injury, you know, or any of that stuff. He had his problems. He certainly had his dips with drug addiction and whatnot, and also having to come back from colon cancer. But it's not like he's bitter at that baseball did him wrong in some respect.
He says.
Right? Yeah.
But I
would think I would go, look, I loved being a baseball player and I'll still follow the sport. Yeah, I was surprised he said, I'm not following it at all.
Here's my question to you. If all of a sudden sports radio did you ill.
Yeah.
Right. Or you did. I mean, you had this like hiatus. You had a sports radio career that was akin to Daryl Strawberry. Would you come on 20 years later and go, well, I don't even listen to sports radio?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Probably not. Probably I'd still be like, I still enjoy the medium. I still listen to it. And I still like the people that are in it. I'm still friends with people that are in it. And,
I mean,
you know,
I still follow sports. I don't know how you would walk away and like not know. I mean, I almost get to the point like, okay, do you even know who Mike Trout is?
Yeah, I know. I know.
What do you think of Mike Trout's game? What do you think? What do you think of the Astros cheating scandal? And he doesn't have an opinion on that?
Yeah. He
That's
also
what's bizarre.
I know, listen, I asked him a tough question because I'm asking him to go back to his emotions as a very young man in 86 when Davey Johnson pulled him out in the ninth inning on a double switch.
Yeah.
But I wanted to know, okay, here we are years later. Like, he was vocally ticked off at that. Like,
oh, he
very
still
angry.
Is.
Right, but you could tell in his voice he still wasn't good with it. He said he was, but you could tell he wasn't good with it. He was taken out of a deciding game in the ninth inning of his team in the World Series. They had to win that game or that was it. And Davey Johnson pulled a double switch and took him out of the game in the ninth inning. I'd be livid to this day. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'd be livid to this day.
Not just
34 years later, I'd be still talking about it at the bar.
Because we're not just talking about a game. We're talking about the game.
The game.
One of the games that, you know, you look at the Mount Rushmore baseball games, it's on there.
Yeah. I mean, that whole series, that whole sequence, there are so many moments from the point where the Red Sox took the lead all the way through. There's Keith Hernandez making it out and going into the locker room because he didn't want to watch the celebration, right? There's
right.
Gary Carter. There's Ray Knight. There's Mookie Wilson, of course. There's
Kevin Mitchell.
There's Jesse Orosco on the mound. You know, there's all of these people, Calvin Schiraldi of the Red Sox with his eyes wide open. There's Roger Clemens getting taken out of the game. There's Dave Henderson hitting the home run. I'm trying to think of some more. Ron Darling, I think, was the pitcher of record at the time.
You got it the right way. Buckner.
All right. Buckner, of course, and then there's Bill Buckner. But you know who is not mentioned at all in any? Daryl Strawberry is not mentioned at all in any sort of participatory fashion in that one of the most classic baseball games of all time. Unbelievable. I guess he's made peace with it. SB Nation AM.